Also today, the Supreme Court handed a narrow victory to patients who seek a second opinion when their HMOs turn them down. The 5-4 decision means that states can set up review boards and other mechanisms to let patients appeal adverse decisions by their health plans and, in some cases, force the HMOs to pay for the treatment. NPR's Barbara Bradley reports the decision could affect some 120 million Americans whose employers buy coverage from an HMO.
Deborah Moran of suburban Chicago began experiencing pain and numbness in her wrist and arm in 1995. Moran visited her primary care physician affiliated with her HMO, Rush Prudential. He recommended therapy, which didn't work, surgery, which didn't work, and finally Moran sought a specialist outside of the network, Dr. Julia Terzis. Terzis recommended a complicated surgery. Eventually, the doctors affiliated with Moran's HMO agreed that such a surgery was a medical necessity and gave her the green light. But the HMO itself refused to pay the $95,000 for the surgery, so Moran hired a lawyer and sued. She cited an Illinois state law which said that patients could appeal to an independent review board if their HMOs turned them down. That's what she did.
And that reviewer said it was medically necessary. So again, here I am, optimistic. Hey, another doctor on my side. They're going to just reimburse me and this is all going to go away.
But no, she said. The HMO refused to pay. Rush Prudential argued in court that Moran's health plan, and in fact most company health plans, are regulated by a federal law called ERISA, and so the states cannot get involved in regulation. By this point, Moran could often not lift her fork to her mouth, so she and her husband decided to pay for the surgery themselves.
I mean, I was just completely optimistic. I just said this was the right thing to do. I'm going to be fixed, I'm going to be better, and then, you know, we're going to kick some butt, which we did.
The case worked its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court, and today the court ruled in her favor. Writing for the 5-member majority, Justice David Souter ruled that the federal law did not block states from regulating HMOs. He wrote, "This is the sort of garden-variety insurance regulation that the federal law envisioned." Daniel Albers is Moran's attorney.
Well, the issue was, who decides whether that treatment is appropriate, whether it's medically necessary? Does a doctor who's independent of the HMO decide that, or does the HMO decide that? And what I think really came through to me in this decision was that doctors ought to be making these decisions, and it's okay for states to require that doctors make these decisions.
Currently, 42 states have laws that allow some kind of review process, and that, says Karen Ignani, is the problem. Ignani, the president of the American Association of Health Plans, says the patchwork quilt of these laws across the country will create chaos for companies offering health plans.
What we're seeing now is procedural requirement upon procedural requirement, a great deal of duplication, no clarity across the country. For an employer that's working in 50 states, that has employees in 50 states, that's a growing serious concern.
Elliot Pollack, a healthcare law expert at the University of Connecticut, expects the ruling to bring about a sea change in how HMOs do business.
Because it specifically sanctions states' ability to permit these arbitration-like remedies, which are very quick, very informal, and which the HMOs, with some degree of fear, believe tilt in favor of the consumer.
In his dissent, Justice Clarence Thomas wrote the ruling undermines the ability of HMOs to control costs, which in turn undermines the ability of employers to provide health care coverage for employees. Barbara Bradley, NPR News, Washington.